Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, there is nothing like a little Jackson 5 to get you started on a Sunday morning, all right? Well, good morning and welcome to Life Change. We are glad that you are with us this morning. Most of you know and can tell that Pastor Corbin and Sarah are not with us. They are actually in North Carolina wrapping up a week of time in Alabama without any snow. And so pray for them. They drive home this evening. For those of you who don't know, my name is Daryl Beckett. I am the Director of Discipleship here at Life Change. We're glad that you're with us. If you are a first-time guest, please make sure that you take out the Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Fill that out and drop it in the offering later in the service, and make sure to stop at the desk on your way out and pick up your free gift. As far as events coming up, there is Student Life here at the church tonight at 5 o'clock. They're wrapping up their series, Not a Fan. And then next week, instead of meeting here at the church, special time, special place, and parents, we're asking you to help. So next week, Student Life will be at Lewis Gibb, the ice rink in Newark over on Sharon Valley. It starts at 2 o'clock. If you need more details, please see Caleb Nilo or go to the Student Life Facebook page. After Student Life this evening here at the church from 6 to 7, there will be prayer. Child care is provided for that. Life groups have started this week. It is not too late to get in a group. You can stop by the Connect desk on your way out to get more information. And then finally, partnership class here at church next Sunday night at 6 p.m., if you have not partnered with the church yet, it's a perfect opportunity for you to come, learn a little bit more about the church, find out what being a partner means, and then make a commitment to do so. Let's go ahead and get into this message this morning. By a show of hands, how many people here this morning have ever done something that going into it, you thought you knew what you were doing, and then once you got into it, you found out you didn't have a clue what you were doing? Right? Where are those people this morning? Right? Almost everybody has their hand up. Keep them up. We see some people have two hands up, right? If I had a third or a fourth, they would be up as well, right? So for those of you, which is most of you, how many of you ever went through that type of event where while going through it, you had somebody depending on you? So you went into an event that you thought you knew what you were doing and somebody was depending on you, and you found out real quick that you didn't know what you were doing, right? So I want to tell you, you can put your hands down, thank you. I want to tell you about a story of while I was in college. I went caving with a group of guys. And when I say caving, I mean a cave, right? It wasn't like Mammoth Cave in Kentucky where you have a tour guide and electricity and nice walking. I mean, this is a cave. There's no lights. There's no electricity. There's no designated walking paths. Yes, there's bat poop. I mean, like, it's a cave, right? And so some of you are like, why would you ever do that? Looking back, I'm not sure what the answer is, other than I was in the southwest corner of Missouri. What else are you going to do in the southwest corner of Missouri? There is not a whole lot. So we go to the cave. We're in a pretty big group, and we decide to split up, right? So part of the group goes this way. Part of the group goes that way. The group I'm in, one of our guys fell and split his head open pretty bad. It was really clear he needed immediate medical attention. And so we go back to where the designated meeting area is to meet up with our other group, and we decide our smaller group is now going to split. Some of the group is going to stay there to meet the other group when they come back so they don't think that we're lost. And some of the group is going to get this guy out of the cave to get him medical attention. I decide I'm going with that group. And it really wasn't to help the guys because I wanted to be the hero. But I mean, that is the truth. I'm like, I'm going to save this guy. And it had nothing to do with his stitches. It really had to do with because I wanted to be the hero. And so we start to get him out of the cave. And really quickly, part of the group we're with is like, Daryl, like, we're going the wrong way, man. Like, we're going deeper into the cave. This is not the right way out. So here I got this guy who's bleeding profusely from his forehead, using dirty shirts with bat poop on him to try to stop the bleeding, like he's getting infected while we're in the cave, and I'm leading us down the wrong path. And the problem was that I was way more concerned with being a hero than I was with really helping the guy, because I was thinking about me. And when we finally got on the right path, even in that, I still took the most difficult route. I was going over rocks that didn't have to be climbed over. And so it was pretty clear I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And my concern is this, that sometimes we have the same approach in the church, right? Sometimes we think that we know what we're doing, and the truth is we really don't have a clue at all, right? And so this morning, we're going to wrap up our series that we've been in called The Basics. We've been in it for the last 3 weeks, and we've talked about the importance of prayer, the basics of prayer as a Christian. We've talked about the basics of community living. What does it mean to live within community? And we've also talked about what does it mean to journal, to write down the Word of God. And this morning we're going to talk about Bible study, how to study the Bible. And the reason why we've spent time here is because focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. Focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. In fact, our scripture for this whole series is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can go ahead and pull them out. If not, you have the YouVersion app on your phone. You can use that. It's a fantastic tool to take the Bible with you anywhere you go. This is what Paul says. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." We're called to continue in what we have learned. We're called to go back to what we're convinced of, to go back to what seems simple and easy to us, the basics. And when we do it, it will make us wise. Focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. My problem is I was trying to be the hero instead of to help. And sometimes we do the same thing. In church, Jesus doesn't need us to be the hero. He is the hero. What he needs from us is to be his help, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is our final message in the series. It's how to study the Bible, the basics of Bible study. I've got a pretty good illustration for you this morning. Where are my bakers in the room today? Bakers. No bakers? Megan Klein, Sonia, right? Bakers. There's a hand in the back. I'm not talking about cooks, right? Because there's a difference between cooking and baking, is there not? Yeah, right? And all the guys are like, yes, right? And so I'm a decent cook, right? It's one of my passions. I like it. And the reason that I like to cook is because I can cook from in here. I really understand, like, where's Jeremy North? He'll be here in a second. Like, flavor profiles and how to make different things work. And the really cool thing about cooking is I don't have to follow directions, right? I don't have to follow instructions to cook. The problem with baking is you have to follow the directions, right? And so my wife and kids will tell you that Daryl Beckett is a terrible baker. And the reason that I'm a bad baker is really pretty simple. It's because I don't like to follow the directions. But this morning, we're going to bake some brownies in the church today, right? So Corbin last week was talking about safety, and he had his safety goggles on, so I'm going to make sure I keep my clothes protected with my nice apron. I actually wear this when I barbecue at my house. I have some brownie mix here, a pan to put it in. You know, it's only a couple of ingredients. I brought my wife's KitchenAid, which some people are like, Daryl knows how to use a KitchenAid? And other people are like, his wife let him bring her KitchenAid? Right? They're both just as shocking. And so let's go ahead and see the directions. If we can see those brownies, they're not very big, but I'll read the back of the box. So we need a couple of eggs, we need some oil, and we need some water, right? So again, how difficult can it be, right? I'm going to take the bowl off so I don't spill stuff on that mixer. Add the brownie mix, maybe. Right? That's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with that. We'll get it in there. That's enough. Pretty close. We'll use the box as our trash can. Now, it calls for two eggs, right? There's one. There's two. A quart of a cup of water and a half a cup of oil, but I forgot my measuring cups, and I don't have any water. So we'll just, you know, we'll compensate with a little extra oil. Oh, look, I do have some water. I forgot that. Right, we got a little water. Now we're going to mix this up and see what happens. Hopefully I get this on here without spilling it. Right, should I start it on higher? Yeah, right? DJ is like, yeah, do it. I'm going to cover your microphone with brownies, DJ. Right? We'll lock this back on here. We'll give it a little go. And oh, there we go. Look, it's all staying in the bowl. That's pretty impressive. All right, that looks pretty darn good. Now, we're going to, oh, look, one of the eggs didn't even break. We'll fix that. We will fix that. I think it's still on. We'll get that extra off. Look, the egg is actually stuck inside the beater. That's as impressive as you can get right there. Like, it can't get any better than that right there, church. That is pretty stinking good. I couldn't do that again if I tried, right? So we'll pour it in the pan. Hope it all comes out, right? I have a spatula, but I think that's enough. So the directions say put it in the oven at 325 for like 40 minutes or 35 minutes. We don't have 40 minutes, and you would boo me off the stage if I preached for 40 minutes. So we actually preheated the oven to 500, and we're going to speed it up a little bit. So it says 35 minutes. We're going to set the timer for 3.5 minutes and see what happens. All right, where is my clock? Sonia's going to go put them in. We're going to set this for 3.5 minutes. At 500 degrees, they should come out all right, I think. Well, I can't find my timer, so we're just going to skip that part. We'll guesstimate, right? Oh, I just turned on the mixer. That is not good. Babe, I promise your mixer is okay. She is in children's church right now. So while we're going to wait for the brownies to bake, let's get into the Word of God. How many people grew up going to Sunday school or vacation Bible school, right? Remember sword drills when you were in Sunday school, right? The Bible is the sword, right? And so what happens? The pastor, the teacher would say a text out loud, and everybody would race to find it, and whoever found it first had to do what? Read it out loud, right? This morning in church, we're having a sword drill, right? Yeah! We've had an interactive series this whole time. We've tried to engage you, so we're going to do it again. So before we show the text, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to get their Bible out, get your YouVersion app out. You got 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, I hope you have it. Here we go. So the text for this morning's message, and remember the rules. What are the rules? Whoever finds it first has to out loud, right? So here is the text. It is John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. That is John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Go. Corey for the win. Good job, Corey. So that is John chapter 8, 31 and 32, and it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, how many of us would consider ourselves disciples of Christ? Right, I would hope most, if not all of us, can raise our hands that we think we're disciples of Jesus. Well, Jesus lays down the gauntlet of what a disciple is here in John chapter 8. It's somebody who continues in the Word of God. And the reason for that is because in John chapter 1, in verse 14, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so when we stay in the Word and we continue in the Word, then we're continuing in Jesus. And we know the truth because according to John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So in our text this morning in John 8, we see that, hey, when we stay in the Word, we continue in the Word, then we're His disciples. And when you break that down really in a nutshell, it's because when we stay in the Word, we're staying in Jesus. And when we do the Word, we're doing the truth because Jesus is the truth. But what does it mean to continue in the Word? It can't just be an intellectual approach. In fact, it can't even be just reading the Bible. If you look at our series over the last 4 weeks, it means praying the Word. We talked about prayer. It means living the Word. We talked about community. It means writing the Word. We talked about journaling. And it means studying the Word, which is what we are talking about this morning. In order to be a disciple of Christ, we have to live out the Word of God, and we have to do the Word of God. Church, I'm going to say that again. Oh, for those of us who raised our hands as disciples, right? In order to be a disciple of Christ, we have to live out the Word of God, and we have to do the Word of God. Why? Because focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. Let's talk a little bit for why we don't read the Bible. What are the reasons that we don't read the Word or don't open the Word? There's tons of them, right? We make all kinds of excuses is really what they are. Why not, Pastor, you don't understand how busy I am. I just don't have time to read the Word. From the second my feet hit the floor till I get back into bed, I just don't have time. Some of us don't know how, I can probably take this off, huh? Some of us don't know how to read the Word, right? We just don't know how to read the script. Listen, if you still have hard text, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, you know, there's center columns, there's bottom margins, there's notes here, notes there, there's little numbers that people my age can't read, right? Because we just don't know how. What about we don't make it a priority? It's just not important to me. I go to church on Sunday. I get a message from the pastor. That's good enough. But for Christians, I'm going to tell you what I believe is the number one reason that we don't read the Word. I think the number one reason we don't read the Word is because we don't like what it says. I think that's a harsh truth this morning, church. I think we don't read the Bible because we don't like what it says. Let me explain what I mean by that. We love the parts that talk about the promises of God, do we not? Like, oh, look, our brownies are ready. Like, our brownies are ready. Who wants a brownie? Oh, look, Brian. Hey, Brian Neely is a brand new guy to Life Change Church, and he is going to eat a brownie this morning, right? Sonia, go ahead and serve Brian a brownie, and I'm going to check back later. And maybe, here, give him an unopened bottle of water. You might want that, and I will check back with you in a little bit to see how that brownie is. But the number one reason that we don't read the Word is because we don't like what it says. We love the parts that talk about the promises of God, right? The promises of health they look all right. How do they at least smell like brownies? Yeah, that smells pretty good, right? We like the promise of a good brownie, right? We had brownie sundaes at my house last night, true story. But Kelly baked the brownies, right? So we like the promises of God. Right? We like the promises of health. We like the promise of being provided for. We quote, oh, God is my provider. We quote things all the time, right? We love the parental aspect of God taking care of us. In fact, sometimes we quote things that aren't even in the Word about God because we don't know the Word, right? We say things about God that aren't even true because we don't know what the Word of God says about God. We make it up and we improvise, like throwing eggs into or using oil instead of water, right? Because we don't know what the Word really says. And so we make things up. But the parts that we don't like about the Word, and this is why I believe we don't read the Word, is because we don't like when the Bible confronts our sin. We don't like when the Holy Spirit begins to convict us through the power of the truth of the Word of God. Because there's a word that's required there, and it's called responsibility. I now am responsible for what I know, right? We don't like that part. We don't like the part that tells us, hey, forgive the person that wronged us. Like, I like being angry and bitter at that person. You don't understand what they did, right? We don't like that part. We don't like the part that says, hey, give of your time, give of your money, give of your resources. Sacrifice. We'll sing about the sacrifice of Jesus and be really emotional about it and love it and worship. But we don't like the part that asks us to sacrifice. You understand where I'm going this morning, church? We want to be blessed. But what about the part that tells us to bless others? Right? So in short, church, in the same way that I don't like to bake because I have to follow the directions in order to be a good baker, we don't read the Word because we don't want to follow the directions. We want the good brownie, but we don't want to follow the directions to get there. In our passage this morning, Jesus was talking to a group of Jews who were children of God, not because of any other reason than that they were descendants of Abraham. That's it. They were descendants of Abraham, so they were automatically children of God. That was the extent of their faith. They approached their faith from a heritage or a lineage or a rights or an intellectual standpoint and nothing more. But Jesus was calling them further. He was calling them into a life of obedience. He was calling them into a life of following the directions. And the problem in the passage, as well as in the modern church today, and I'll even go so far as to say maybe for some of us in this room this morning, is there are plenty of people who say that they're a Christian that might sort of resemble a Christian. You know, these brownies, like, right? I mean, at least they're brown. They sort of resemble a Christian. They might sort of smell like a Christian. But the problem is, when the pressures of life rise and trials and tribulations come, do they really exemplify a Christian life? See, the word disciple really can be defined as student. Those who are students of Christ remain in the Word. Or more so, those who are students of Christ remain in Christ. If we're students of Christ, instead of just sounding a little like Jesus or looking a little like Jesus, the way we find, we actually do the things of Jesus. And the way we find what the things of Jesus are is by reading the Word of God, right? Brian, did you have enough courage to at least taste the brownies? He ate all of it! Yes, Brian! Give it up for Brian Neely. How were they? I would stick to cooking. It was like a soup. Did you get any shell? Oh, yeah. All right. The brownies were bad for one reason, church. I didn't follow the directions. I didn't follow the directions. We can't be Christians because of our lineage or because we're in America or because we go to church. In fact, none of those things make us Christian. Jesus calls us to a deeper walk. We're Christians because of our obedience to the Word of God. We're Christians because of following the directions. And church, there is too much at stake. I made bad brownies because I did not follow the directions. And in my opening story, somebody was depending on me. Somebody who was wounded and needed care was depending on me. But I was more caught up with other things, and I was willing to get him lost for my own pride. There's too much at stake, church. That is not the way we represent God. There are people that are wounded and that are hurting and are in need of care. And they are depending on us to provide them the direction of God. And church, in short, you're depending on the direction of God. We just prayed for wisdom for somebody in our church family this morning. If we're not in the Word, we're not going to know the way. When we don't know the Word, we misrepresent the Word. And when we misrepresent the Word, we misrepresent Jesus. But what would happen if we actually read the Word? What would happen if we studied the Bible? What if because we knew the Word, we knew Jesus? Well, for one, right from our text, we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. But it's only if we act on the Word. Listen to what the psalmist said in chapter 1. The first psalm says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers." That sounds pretty darn good, church. Over the last 3 weeks, you've committed to prayer, you've joined a life group, and you've started journaling. Now it's time to commit to reading the Word of God consistently. And so action step number one this morning is commit to reading the Word. There's multiple ways that you can do it. YouVersion is one. Nathan, we're actually going to skip the video this morning. But YouVersion is one. We talk about it every single week. If you don't have YouVersion, download it. Download it. Download it. Listen, if you're one of those guys or gals that struggle setting aside time, get YouVersion. You can take the Word with you every place you go. Online devotionals. Bible Gateway is one of my favorite websites. They have devotionals from our forefathers, guys like Oswald Chambers and Bonhoeffer and all the forefathers. And they have really current devotionals. You can use that. Or if you're like me, get a hard copy. To me, there's nothing more satisfying than reading the physical Word of God. I'm an old school guy. I like to be able to handle the Word. But make a commitment to read the Word of God. Number two, write down your reading goals and revisit them. Write them down. Put them on the bathroom mirror. What is your reading goal? I'm going to read the Word 4 times this week. Put it on the bathroom mirror. Put it on the fridge. Put it on the coffee pot. Put it on your underwear drawer. That way, you see it every place you go in your house. Experts in training leaders will tell you the more you see your goal, the more likely you are to complete it. And then finally, find an accountability partner. Like, that's a word that we hate, right? It goes back to the reason we don't read the Word is because then we're responsible for it. Well, we don't tell people our goals because we don't want to be held accountable. Find an accountability partner, somebody that will call you on Thursday and say, "Hey, Corey, man, when we talked on Sunday, you said you were going to read the Bible 4 times this week." Well, it's now Thursday, right? So we're 5 days into the week. How many times have you read it? None? Come on, dude. Like, you only got 3 days left. That means you got to double up on the day, right? Find somebody that's going to hold you accountable to your goal. Church, if you want brownies, you got to follow the recipe. If you want the freedom and the blessing of the Word of God, you have to follow the Word of God. The brownies that I made kind of look like brownies. They kind of smell like brownies. They sure didn't taste like brownies. Soup is the word that was used. In fact, I'd be willing to bet the taste was probably a little off-putting. Probably a little off-putting. Let's laugh at that, but listen to what the next statement is. Just like nobody wants bad-tasting brownies, nobody wants an off-putting Christian. Right? I'm pretty sure you can figure it out. Like, if you don't pass the Christian taste test, what's the end result? Right? Listen to what Jesus' words were in Luke. "Now when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him. And he went in and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he had not ceremonially washed before the meal. The Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisee, clean the outside of the cup totally got. But the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside? But give that which is within as charity, and all things are clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and love of God. These are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." In short, they looked like the church, they smelled like the church, but they weren't the church. I totally improvised on a recipe. Made stuff up, didn't crack the eggs, put in too much oil. Church, when we don't know the word, we do the same thing. We make stuff up, we improvise, and it just doesn't work. Years after my caving experience, I had a dream of the event. 3 nights in a row, I had the same dream. I was back in the cave. I was there. I saw the guy split his head. I was in the mud, and I also led us down the wrong path. All 3 nights, I woke up as soon as my dream was over. Finally, on the 3rd night, I began to pray. "God, what are you trying to show me through this dream?" And he spoke one sentence to me, and this is what it was. "If you don't know the way, how are you going to show them the way?" See, I was already in Bible college preparing to be a pastor, and I struggled with making time to read the word. And if I'm being completely honest, it is still something that I struggle with. But church, if we want to live a healthy, victorious Christian life, then we have to be willing to read the Bible, and we have to be willing to do what it says. Over the last 4 weeks, we have talked about the 4 basics of the Christian walk: prayer, or speaking the word of God; community, which is living the word of God; journaling, which is writing the word of God; and this morning, Bible study, which is reading the word of God. And church, the reason is because focusing on the basics is what determines positive results.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.